It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame shows. Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues 4-2, snap their winless streak at 4 games and get back in the win column. Next in action tomorrow, 4:30 puck drop in Dallas against the Stars. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at tonight's performance, I think Mark Stone scoring 19 seconds in, playing with a lead, certainly set the tone for what the Golden Knights wanted to accomplish tonight.
Yeah, and even after that opening goal by Stone, you could just sense he was a man on a mission with the team having enough of a winless skid they are unaccustomed to. And they were very close to winning last game with the comeback and the overtime opportunities, including one for Mark. There was just a sense of it's not happening again. You just will yourself. And that's what happened. You know, Mark sort of downplayed it when we interviewed him in the intermission. But it seemed to me, at least from up here, Ryan, that Mark Stone was going to make a stamp on this game. And he executed. He gets the takeaway, gets the goal in typical Mark Stone fashion. It was I was surprised when we double-checked. First time that the Knights had scored a goal in the first minute of the game this year. 48 games. It's about time. Maybe they should do that more often.
You know, the other thing that kind of stands out to me is the defensive effort for the Golden Knights. Obviously, this comes a game after Bruce Cassidy said you needed more from the goaltending department. But when, you know, through 40 minutes, you only give up 8 shots, and you allow your goaltender to settle in a little bit. Obviously, you kind of want to see some shots. But I thought the effort in front of Ilya Samsonov was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, and so much of it, Ryan, is that the Knights had the puck more often. And when the Blues did set up in the offensive zone, there was very little when you felt like they were under duress. The Knights, blocked a lot of shots today, sort of the opposite of what happened the other day where they blocked a lot of the Blues shots. The other way around, where the Blues blocked a lot of the Knight shots. It just seemed to me that the Knights were, when they got possession of the puck in their own zone, they were much more successful in breaking out of the zone. The Blues just had a hard time generating as much as they would like. They did have it's interesting that they had the same number of attempts after two periods as the Knights. Both teams had 35 attempts after two periods, but Vegas had 24 attempts on goal, and St. Louis only had 8 on goal. That tells me that Vegas players, meaning that the skaters, defensemen, and forwards, are doing enough to challenge the St. Louis shooters so that the shots are not going on net, that they are challenged, and they're not high percentage shots. That's what those numbers, in a sort of summary way, that's what that takeaway would be.
You know, you mentioned Mark Stone kind of on a mission, certainly set the tone for the Golden Knights. I thought the entire top line, Jack Eichel was great, but this was a game where I feel like Ivan Barbashev looked like Ivan Barbashev pre-injury.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been chatting over the last few days. We had sort of scheduled today's pregame interview. We chatted the other day at City National Arena. And, you know, it looked, you know, Gary suggested to him off the air that, you know, hey, you're looking better and better. And he kind of pushed back at that. I don't know. But, you know, when I asked him today, and it was, we chatted a little bit off the air and a little bit on the air as well, obviously. And when he said with that first game back, which was against the Rangers last Saturday, the 11th, he said, quote, "I felt like my lungs were coming out." He was so out of breath against the Rangers. And it just goes to show, when you miss time, he said that Rangers game felt like a playoff game. So you get back up to speed in so many different ways. So, yeah, it's his 7th game back, first point in returning. It's, I don't suppose, a coincidence that he would register a point against his old club. But it was a great pass leading to that goal scored by Olofsson right after the power play ended. And, I agree. It just, he looked a lot more like Ivan Barbashev. Those guys were... it wasn't the best game that the three of them have played together, but they were much closer to in sync, especially coming out of their zone, than they have in the last few.
And the last one I'm going to throw your way, obviously the news earlier today, William Karlsson out, lower body injury week to week. It's hard sometimes to contextualize how important William Karlsson is to this team. So I guess, you know, for Vegas so far this season, track record when players have been out of the lineup with injury has been really, really good. Players have stepped into different spots and taken advantage of opportunities. How do you navigate this next stretch without William Karlsson?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an unknown because he has missed so few games in his Golden Knights career. He's played in 540 Golden Knights games. And, Ryan, they have only played 585 games.
Yeah.
So he has only missed now 45 of those. That means, and only now 10 of them this year, he's missed 10 out of 48. This is a deep team with an organization that has players from the American League that you can slot in. But it does mean that some of the higher-end guys who will be playing in crunch minutes will be asked to do more. And that comes to Jack Eichel. You know, for example, while Eichel is averaging almost 21 minutes a game today, with the Knights not really using that Holtz-Luzinski-Brisson line all that much, today Jack Eichel finished with over 23 minutes. So that's 2 minutes more than average. Is that going to be long-term? Well, you know, that just goes to show, as Gary talked about throughout the day, you've got to build leads early so that you can use the depth part of your lineup more often. So it just seems to me, and we'll see how it unfolds, but it seems to me that the Knights are going to have to use their top-end forwards more minutes because of Carlson's absence, and that includes the special team scenarios as well, because Karlsson plays in all those situations. So they can do it. Eichel might have to play more. Hurdle's numbers might go up as well, but we'll see. And we'll see how long he's out. They said week to week. We don't know how many weeks that is.
Yes.
But we shall see. But then it leads me to wonder who will be the player into the lineup. You can't replace William Karlsson, but someone will have to go into the lineup. Today, Brisson and Luzinski were in with Karlsson and Howden out. Howden could play again tomorrow. He's just out with an illness. So So that'll be the interesting thing. The Knights have used several players up from Henderson this year. Brisson hadn't played for the Golden Knights since October. Luzinski has been a more recent call-up and scored a goal against Buffalo a couple weeks ago. That'll be the interesting thing to see who gets the opportunity with Karlsson out, it seems, for week to week.
All right. Great stuff there. As always, Dan, enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Very good. Thanks, Ryan.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 4-2 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights over the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, Dan touched on it. We talked about William Karlsson. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. William Karlsson is out week to week with a lower body injury for the Vegas Golden Knights. So obviously, again, as I mentioned, it's hard to contextualize just how important a player William Karlsson is. Now, there's the defensive side of the puck where he really shines. He excels. Karlsson's ability to take the opposition's best players out of the game, neutralize them, that's really what he brings to the table and what he does best. Now, beyond that, William Karlsson is also an incredibly talented hockey player offensively. He can put the puck in the back of the net and plays in all situations. Penalty kill, power play, 5-on-5, defensive zone draws. That's the player that's generally first over the boards in those key moments and key situations. So it is going to be by committee, as Dan just mentioned. You're not going to have just one guy or one player come in as a one-for-one player to take over those minutes and make those plays. But what you do need is everybody kind of pulling in the same direction. Let's hear from Bruce Cassidy as he addresses the media.
Closer to the game you've been looking for?
Well, I think defensively, we didn't give up a lot. There was obviously some action with the goalie out late, gave up a goal. But I thought we played it pretty well for the most part. It was kind of a bad angle shot, found a way in. Discipline was good, only took a couple penalties. Won the special teams battle. I thought our power play was excellent. Thought we could have got on it a couple more times in the third. There was a couple of trips on Jack I thought went uncalled, and it was could have extended the lead. So they did a real good job with the first one. Their goalie made a couple of good saves. We scored in the second one. Yeah, I thought we checked well and just felt like we were never in trouble. That's how it seemed on the bench. And then obviously they scored to make it 3-2, and now you're starting to think, well, maybe we could be in trouble if we're not careful. But There was no anxiety, which was nice. And we started on time. It's a good start. So there was just a lot of positives.
I mentioned never feeling like you were in trouble. What is the significance of that, especially just with the way the last stretch has been, that each time they would pull within one, your team responded the way it did?
Yeah, well, I mean, and they did tonight. It just didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like we caved in for long stretches. I thought we managed the game at the right times. And by that, I mean the last minute of periods and end of shifts. We didn't give them freebies. So, yeah, I thought we were all determined to play the right way. We weren't reckless in any way. I thought our D moved the puck well, joined the rush when they're supposed to. Don't remember any poor pinches. I just thought our decision making was good from start to finish. And as I said, you know, we. What was the score when Olsen missed? Was it 3-1 or 3-2 then? See, that's one that, you know, I guess you'd say if that goes in, it makes it life easier on everybody, but it's a 100-foot shot, so you can't complain.
How did the first shift of the game and what your top line did there and what Mark Stone did, just stripping the puck, battling, set the tone for this?
Yeah, it's good to get out, you know, and finish early on the road, get a lead so you're not chasing it. We're a little short. We're short Carly and Howie, guys that play a lot of minutes for us, so we had some young kids to work in. It's a little easier to do that when you have a lead. I just think it gives everyone a lift. I don't know that it would affect them a lot. They're a veteran group. They have basically 59 minutes to bounce back. But for us, it was a nice way to start.
Do you believe in game-to-game momentum? And if so, how do you carry it into tomorrow
night?
Yeah,
I mean, game-to-game momentum went the other way on us for the last 2 weeks, where we seemed to find ways to let the game get away from us. So maybe tomorrow will be a bit of a less, just a carryover from this game. Hey, let's start on time, be opportunistic early, and do our best to get a lead, and then let it go from there. It's, you know, we are a very good team when we have it. And we've come back. I mean, we're resilient that way. It's just always easier to manage your people, especially in a back-to-back. We got, as I said, some younger guys. You got to sort of try to find matchups that are, you know, they have a chance to be successful, and so that's more important when you have a lead.
Thank you, Bruce.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-2 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Vegas Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues 4-2. Vegas back in the win column, 30 wins, 14 losses, four others, 64 points on the year for the Golden Knights. And next in action tomorrow, 4:30 puck drop in Dallas against the Stars. That means it's a 3:30 pregame show. We will be on the air with you then. For the Golden Knights, a strong performance in every facet of the game, led mostly by their captain. As we take a look at the highlights in this game, we started off with Mark Stone, who scores 19 seconds into the game to set the tone.
Mark Stone gets an ozone steal. He scores! 19 seconds into the game. The Blues cough it up in their own end, and Mark Stone snaps his longest drought of the season.
13th goal of the year for Mark Stone, unassisted, 19 seconds into the game, made it 1-0. Vegas and the Golden Knights extended their lead 8 minutes later as Ivan Barbashev set up Victor Olofsson all alone in the slot.
Olofsson at the left wall. Again behind for Petrangelo. Swats it right boards. Barbashev into the slot. Olofsson shoots. He scores. Top right corner for Victor Olofsson. It's an even strength goal for the Knights. They've got a 2-0 lead.
Victor Olofsson's 11th goal of the year from Ivan Barbashev and Alex Petrangelo. 8:54 of that first period made it 2-0 Vegas. But the Blues halted the Golden Knights' momentum and cut the lead in half 90 seconds later as Jordan Kyrou beat Ilya Samsonov from a sharp angle.
Blues on it left to right. Holloway enters, drops it off. Kyrou cruising and shoots. He scores. Kyrou from the right circle. And the Blues are back within a goal. 2-1 Knights on a right circle shot for Jordan Kyrou.
Jordan Kyrou from Dylan Holloway, 10:22 of the first period, made it 2-1. Vegas. So the Golden Knights would take that one-goal lead into the second period, and they restored their two-goal lead early in the period when Mark Stone set up Pavel Dorofeev's power play goal.
Eichel again, draws in Thomas, feeds down low, Stone in the shot, and it's in from Dorofeev. In and out in the blink of an eye. Power play goal for Pavel Dorofeev, 13 seconds into the man advantage. 3-1 Vegas, 13:30 to go in the second.
21st goal of the year for Pavel Dorofeev from Mark Stone and Jack Eichel. 6:30 of the second period made it 3-1 Vegas on the power play for Dorofeev. So the Golden Knights would have a two-goal lead entering the third period. And the Blues went to an early pull for the extra attacker, which paid off as Robert Thomas pushed one through to make it a one-goal game.
Pass goes to the high slot by Falk. Fans want a shot. Buchnevich shooting save. Rebound score. And it's a one-goal game with 3:26 to go.
Robert Thomas from Pavel Buchnevich and Justin Falk. 16:34 of the third period, a 6-on-5 goal made it 3-2 Vegas. And then the Golden Knights, facing another 6-on-5 attack, came up with a different play as Tomas Hertl iced the game with an empty net goal.
Petrangelo on the puck, sends it to center, but it's cut off at the red. Picked up by Hertl. Hertl shoots, he scores! With 26 seconds to go. Empty net goal for Tomas Hertl. And the Knights finish this one off with an empty netter. 4-2 Vegas, 26 seconds left.
17th goal of the year for Tomas Hertl, an empty net goal unassisted. 19:33 of the third period made it 4-2 Vegas, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Playing the neutral zone, Blues will back it up. They're going to run out of time. 3-2-1. 4-2, the final score in St. Louis. The Golden Knights defeat the Blues. They're back in the win column with their 30th win of the season.
There you have it, 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues, improve their record to 30-14-4 for 64 points on the year, top spot in the Pacific Division, and next in action tomorrow in Dallas against the Stars. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Cheer on the Golden Knights with your fellow fans tomorrow night at the Great American Pub on Flamingo and Grand Canyon Drive. VGK cast and giveaways will be available as the Golden Knights take on Dallas. That's the Great American Pub on Flamingo and Grand Canyon Drive. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues 4-2. Vegas improves to 30-14-4. 64 points on the year, as I mentioned, top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. It's a 4:30 puck drop, 3:30 pregame show. Taking a look at the text line. Text line's always interesting. 702-876-1340. That's the text line number. We're going to take phone calls in just a couple of minutes. If you want to dial in and get ready for that, I promise you, coming at you in about 8 minutes or so there. However, instant reactions, the text line's the place to go. This game, quite frankly, for the Golden Knights was won and lost, more or less, on the first shift of the game, 19 seconds into the game. This game was won by Vegas because of the play Mark Stone makes on Cam Fowler. It was an alpha dog play from the captain. It was a play that you need when you're in the midst of a skid like the Golden Knights were coming into this game, where you just go out and make something happen. You go out, you steal a puck, you come in, and you score a goal. Especially when you contextualize it with Mark Stone in overtime on Monday with an opportunity on a similar type of play, breakaway, and he misses the net. It was a play to set the tone for what was to come. And the captain delivered in a fantastic way. Sonia says, nice to see us winning puck battles. Love that pickpocketer Stone making plays only he can make. Yeah, sticking the neutral zone was phenomenal. obviously it shows itself on the first goal of the game, 19 seconds in. But again, when you are looking for something to go your way, like it hasn't really been for the Golden Knights of late. You heard Bruce Cassidy, game-to-game momentum, how much does it really mean? Do you believe in that? I don't know. I kind of waffle on that sometimes. But what I do believe in is kind of making your own luck. And that was the play for Mark Stone to start the game. And again, when things aren't really going your way, when you're one play short, you go out there, you knock the doors down, and you make that play 19 seconds in, I think it allows everybody to just kind of exhale. John says, like Jack said, let's keep them to three and just relax and play hockey. I'm with you. Says Captain Stone, 19 seconds into the game, sets the pace. Yeah, I agree. That was the play of the game. As much as you can look at everything else, I mean, obviously, Ivan Barbashev, the sick pass to Victor Olofsson, the finish from Olofsson was phenomenal. Pavel Dorofeev just continues to stay red hot for the Golden Knights. 8 goals in the month of January for Pavel Dorofeev. He has found it again. That's great. 7 games in a row now for the Vegas Golden Knights with a power play goal. All of a sudden, the power play, it's clicking at a rate that's even better than it was at the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the year, they were the best power play in the league and absolutely elite. So there are good things to pull from the last couple of weeks for the Golden Knights. It just becomes harder and harder to pull them when you're losing games. But the good continued to come through for Vegas in this one, and then they make the plays that matter. And I want to talk about, for a moment, Tomas Hertl and the empty net goal. Now, granted, you would have loved Victor Olofsson to hit the net from the red line, make it 4-1 earlier on, and kind of make it a low-maintenance finish to the game. But if you go back and you watch Tomas Hertl, he makes 3 stick plays, one in the defensive zone and 2 in the neutral zone, to afford him the opportunity to put the game away. Structure, situational awareness, puck battles, winning those battles, that's the difference at this time of year. And Hertl on the ice protecting a 1-goal lead won 3 different battles to set up his empty netter. That's what you want to see. That's why the Golden Knights were able to win the game. You set the tone early, and you make the plays all the way through for 60 minutes. When this team commits to doing that, when they're able to do that, they're an incredibly hard team to beat. And they proved that here in this game tonight. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the VGK Postgame Show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues 4-2. Mark Stone sets the tone 19 seconds in, stripping Cam Fowler of the puck and scoring. And the Golden Knights never looked back. They led all the way through, wire to wire. And it was the type of performance, the type of game that you really wanted to see from the Vegas Golden Knights. You did. And, you know, you look at the skid, winless in 4 games, 0-3-1 in that stretch. Bruce Cassidy kept hammering home the point that they were right there. You just need to find a way to make another play. And at 3-2, protecting a 1-goal lead, 6-on-5 situation, Tomas Hertl made not one, not two, but 3 plays. Then he made the 4th play, and that's icing the game with an empty net goal. That's the stuff. Those are the plays that are the difference between winning and losing. And tonight, the Golden Knights made more of those plays than the St. Louis Blues did. And what you're hoping for now is that Vegas feels good about where they're at, that momentum is a real thing, and you can carry it into Dallas tomorrow, because the Dallas Stars are a good hockey team. The Golden Knights have seen them once before this season, and they beat Dallas quite handily. Without William Karlsson, it's a tougher task for sure. But I think it's a task the Golden Knights are up to, especially in light of how this game went for Vegas. Back in the win column, 30 wins on the year, top spot in the Pacific Division. You'll take that after 48 games. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK Postgame Show. Extended Postgame Show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network Postgame Show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues. Vegas 30-14-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow in Dallas against the Stars. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. The Golden Knights stop their winless streak at four games, get back in the win column with a solid performance top to bottom. I have given my play of the game. My play of the game is a very simple one. Mark Stone sets the tone 19 seconds in, strips Cam Fowler, scores on a breakaway. 19 seconds into the game. To me, that's the play of the game. I want to hear from you, though. It's your post-game show. If you're listening to this right now, if you can hear my voice, if you are a Golden Knights fan, I want you to pick up the phone. I want you to dial the number. 702-876-1340. Do you agree with me? Is that the play of the game, or do you have something else in mind? If you want to talk about William Karlsson, what the week-to-week outlook looks like for the Vegas Golden Knights, we can go that direction too. Any direction you want to go. 702-876-1340, that's the number. I want to hear from you. If you're a Golden Knights fan, I will say, though, beyond Mark Stone, Tomáš Hertl's play at the end of the game, just unbelievable. What you want to see from Hertl. That's another one that I would put in consideration, play of the game, but it's hard not to go with Mark Stone setting the tone 19 seconds in. If you've got a different thought, you want to agree with me, pick up the phone. We have lines open right now. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hi. Well, the first thing is Coach Cassidy has always said you'll play a little bit better in your final game of a losing streak, and he was right again. As we played well in the third period day before yesterday in the last game against the Blues, and then we're played well enough to win tonight. So he's right again about that.
I thought they were excellent tonight. I don't think that they were great on Monday.
No, I thought third period of that comeback was nice. That's about it.
I thought top to bottom, wire to wire tonight, I thought they were excellent.
They were, absolutely. Yeah. And again, you play better in that first game of a winning streak. And hopefully the winning streak, not just a one-off. I have to comment on this because it's going to drive me crazy if I don't. Those of us who always hope that Brendan Brisson gets another opportunity to be a Golden Knight had to be disappointed. Would you put him on the fourth line in a wing position, which he is a winger, I understand, but would you really put him on the fourth line, or would you just let Rönnberg come up in a situation like this?
I mean, I think you're kind of in a spot where, you know, you need to see what you have. Now, in a fourth line role in this spot, I mean, that's a tough ask, right? But,
yeah. You
know, you're also looking at scenarios where Jonas Rönnberg's played games. And once you go beyond 10 games, you're looking at another waiver-type situation. So, you know, again, from that perspective, I think you're giving Brendan Brisson an opportunity, right? And it's tough. You got to fill in where it makes sense. And, you know, for Brisson, it's the onus is on him to kind of kick the door down. You know what I mean? Like,
you go back
and you think about, you know, Tanner Lozinski in preseason. You think about Paul Cotter a couple of years ago where he comes in training camp and wins his job, quite literally wins his job in training camp because he came in and he was excellent. And so that's what you're looking for from Brisson. Now, is it harder to do that on a fourth line in the National Hockey League, especially when you're on a team that's looking for and hunting down a win? Yeah, probably, but he's familiar with Tanner Lozinski. They play together with the Henderson Silver Knights on a line, so there's that familiarity there. It's not ideal. It's not the ideal spot that you want to put him in, but until you kick that door down, you're going to just have to take advantage of whatever opportunities you get.
Yeah, I understand. I just think we're seeing the very last of Brendan Brisson as a Golden Knight, but we'll hopefully not. In that case. Now, one other thing, and that's all, just one other thing. Would you please explain cross-checking to me? Because it seems like the guys are getting more and more brazen with their sticks into the back of people.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perplexing one to me, Mike, because cross-checking can be incredibly dangerous, and thanks for the call. I always get into trouble here. Because in a game like today, where so many penalties were left uncalled on both sides, and where you could have legitimately griped with two of the penalties that were called in this game, and yet they were there, they were called, it seems... I'm trying to be careful here. It seems ridiculous to not call blatant cross checks. They're dangerous plays. And if you're not going to call the first one, you're going to see a second one and a third one and a fourth one. Hertl ate two cross checks from Braden Schenn. One while he was lying on the ice. If you're not going to call those, why would Colton Parayko not cross check Pavel Dorofeev by the end of by the back post? Of course he will. So I don't understand it. I don't get it. I really don't. I was not a fan of the officiating tonight. And that's not because, you know, the Golden Knights didn't get enough penalties or power play, whatever. It doesn't matter. I thought on both sides there were infractions left on the table that were uncalled. And it's dangerous when you're not calling the cross checks. Because then you have players taking liberties because you're daring the refs to call it at that point. And if you let the first couple go, you're not going to be able to kind of get it back under control. 702-876-1340. That's the number. I'd like to hear from you after a Golden Knights win. Stephanie, we welcome you to the program. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
Oh, I'm good. Mike asked me a question about officiating, so now I'm fired up.
Yeah, so I heard the end of that, and it got me a little fired up, too, especially because of the comments that, like, have been floating around about McDavid. I would absolutely hate to see rules applied differently for superstars. It's frustrating when it happens in the NFL. I don't watch basketball, but from the sounds of it, it's really frustrating when it happens there. It would just be really, really nice if the refs would call penalties that are penalties, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's definitely something that needs to happen, right? If it's a penalty, it doesn't matter who you do it to. It doesn't matter if it's the best player in the league or the freshest brand-new call-up from the AHL. If it's a penalty against one of them, it's a penalty against the other, period. But not to try and get anything more fired up, great, great bounce-back game after losing in overtime against the Blues. And it wasn't the best game. Like, I was at the last game here in Vegas, and I had to leave before the end of the game because I had to help my daughter bring her gear out of the building. So I didn't even get to see the best parts of it where we scored. So this game, in contrast, it was just great to see the Knights really put the pedal to the metal, get the scoring started off so early, and then just a lot of suppression, right? The Blues didn't have a lot going on for big chunks of the game. So all of that combined, I hope they can carry that over tomorrow and do the same thing in Dallas.
Do you think they will?
I think they will. I mean, I think that losing, it was, what, 4 games in a row, even though the one was an overtime loss. It's been a wake-up call, and they're going to respond to it because this isn't a team that's just going to let that keep happening.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Stephanie, and thanks so much for the call. I think that, you know, Bruce Cassidy said it, I think, in back-to-back games, that at some point when you're going through a skid, you have to be tired of losing. And it just felt like the energy surrounding the team was different in their practice on Tuesday. It just felt like a team that was, frankly, tired of losing. And so you go out there, you have a really strong performance. Defensively, I thought they were great. Mark Stone sets the tone. Their power play continues to shine. And the Golden Knights get it done. They don't surrender a goal in the final minute of the periods. Like, that was an area of emphasis. You got to get through a period clean. You got to get through a game clean. And the Golden Knights got through this one clean. And so now you've got momentum building. And again, I don't know where you all fall on momentum from game to game. I think there's certainly momentum inside of a game, but I don't know where you fall on that from game to game. But for Vegas, lean into this feeling. It's been a minute since they've felt what it feels like after a win, and go do it again. I think the best thing for them is that they get to go out and do this again tomorrow. Lean into it while it's working for you. And so it was good to see them play close to a 60-minute game. I mean, obviously, 6-on-5, that's an early pull from Jim Montgomery. Good on him. I don't know why more coaches don't do that. Because St. Louis had nothing going until they pulled their goaltender in that third period. And I thought the Golden Knights did a good job. Yeah, you would have liked to make it 4-1, make it really, really stress-free. It didn't happen that way, but Tomáš Hertl makes some big plays down the stretch. And the Golden Knights do get this one across the goal line. 702-876-1340 is the number. I think we've complained about refs enough. But if you want to go down that route, by all means, pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 4-2, the final. The Golden Knights defeat the St. Louis Blues. Back in the win column after a 4-game winless streak for the Vegas Golden Knights. 30-14-4, 64 points on the year. Next in action tomorrow in Dallas against the Stars. 3:30 pregame, 4:30 puck drop in that one. 702-876-1340, that's the number. We have lines open. Pick up the phone, dial the number. I've given my play of the game, Mark Stone, 19 seconds in. Agree with me, I'd love to hear from you. Disagree with me, I'd love to hear from you. I also really thought it was impactful, Tomáš Hertl and the empty net goal. And I've checked in on the text line, a lot of questions wondering why the Golden Knights didn't get a power play at the end of the game when there was an apparent or believed challenge from the St. Louis Blues. So there's a couple of things happening here. That goal for Tomas Hertl occurred in the final minute of the game. All goals in the final minute of the game, automatic review. Automatic review. Now, the confusion comes in because the refs in that situation made the announcement, you heard it on the program, that St. Louis was challenging for goalie interference. No, St. Louis was challenging for offside. And so when you hear that, you're thinking it's kind of under the guise of if they fail the challenge, they will be penalized, and therefore the Golden Knights will have a power play. It was not communicated particularly well in that scenario that it was a challenge by St. Louis. It wasn't. It was an automatic review. The automatic review goes through. The refs determine it's a good goal, and then they don't come back on and announce what happened. They just drop the puck. So hopefully that kind of clarifies. Final minute of play. Goal scored, automatic review. That's why the Golden Knights didn't get a power play at the end of the game, because it wasn't actually a St. Louis Blues coach's challenge. It was an automatic review on the play. Now, all that being said, you don't get this game across the goal line without Tomas Hertl. If you go back and you watch that shift and go back and you watch what Hertl does on that play, he breaks up a pass in the defensive zone, wins a battle, gets out to the neutral zone, wins two more stick battles for that puck before putting it in the back of the net on the empty netter. Now, Hertl's been great. The production has been there for Tomas Hertl. He's got 6 goals, 5 assists, now 11 points in his last 7 games. 7-game point streak for Tomas Hertl. And it's the fact that you can trust him in those situations, the fact that he's on the ice with under a minute left, protecting a 1-goal lead, and he makes not one, not two, but 3 impressive individual battle plays to help the Golden Knights win this game. That's what you bring Hertl in for. That the points are sticking to him, that's great. The power play, it is really, really humming along here, and Hertl's been a big, big reason why that's the case. But it's the fact that you can trust him and rely on him when the game is on the line, when it matters most. He gives you another guy that can go over there and make an impact when it matters. As good as the opening goal for Mark Stone was, as important a play as that was in the context of this game, Tomas Hertl finding a way, making the play, getting this one across the goal line, it's huge. Absolutely huge. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Postgame Show. Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-2 the final. The Golden Knights double up the St. Louis Blues, get back in the win column after a 4-game skid. 30-14-4, 64 points on the year, and next in action tomorrow, 4:30 puck drop in Dallas against the Stars. For the Golden Knights, business-like performance tonight. Mark Stone sets the tone 19 seconds in. Victor Olofsson picks up another goal, another point on the road. And then the power play, Pavel Dorofeev, 8 goals now in the month of January. He is absolutely on fire. Then Tomas Hertl, huge impact on the game, specifically the empty net goal, which ices it for the Golden Knights. Situational awareness, getting through the game clean, that's what the Golden Knights needed, and they were able to deliver that tonight. Now it's all about following it up. Follow it up with a similar type performance tomorrow, and we might be talking about a win streak, or at least the beginning of a win streak. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio for keeping us on the air. Thanks to Mateo Lopez Gonzalez down here making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers and our texters. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until tomorrow, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.